Chatter and lore.
Alchemy!
And welcome to Rude Alchemy Chatter and Lore. I'm Andy.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Tom.
Jesus Christ. You'd think Mike would be the one to make the mistake, but it's... we're the creators of Rude Alchemy. Chatter and Lore is that special place where we talk about Rude Alchemy, who we are, why we're doing it. Also tell some stories that will expand the ridiculous universe we're creating. If this is the first episode, I'm actually reading from the script this time. That's why this is correct. I'm stepping up my game. If this is the
thank
first
you.
Episode of Rude Alchemy you're listening to, thank you. Welcome. We're glad to have you. But since this is an opportunity to enhance and expand the world of the series, you might have a better time if you first listen to episodes from, you know, just the whole damn thing. Like, if this is the first thing you're listening to, that's unfortunate. What season did we just do? Oh, the Bestiary.
Bestiary.
You at least have to listen to the Bestiary. But if that's the first thing you listen to, you won't listen to this. So really just go back to the beginning and listen to everything. And by then, you will have acquired a taste for the kind of shit we do in the Bestiary. So you really should just start from the beginning. And if you can make it to this point, then you'll want to listen to it, I think.
And since Tom and Ryan screwed up the intro, you might not have noticed, but resident sound designer Mr. Michael Hahn, for the first time ever, is joining us for the Chatter and Lore.
Yay!
The true hero of Rude Alchemy is joining us.
Hello, hello.
Cool.
All right. That's enough,
what's
Michael.
First?
Thank you. Sorry.
First,
I'll try and turn it down a bit.
You shut your mouth now.
First will be the round robin where we ask one another questions. Let's just say one asker, one answerer, and then we just keep on going.
Love it.
Let's see.
I'll go.
I got nothing. Oh, good. Great.
Ryan?
Go, Ryan. Go.
This question's for Andy. Andy, I knew you were a baseball fan. You're what? You were a Baltimore Orioles fan. Now you're a Philadelphia Phillies fan.
Well, I believe everyone is allowed one American League and one National League
okay.
team.
All right.
Continue.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were on two different leagues. So, but anyways.
That's my belief. All right. Continue.
I didn't know. Now, when you wrote the intros, did you have to listen to any announcers, or did that just come right out of your head? Did you have to, like, to get the little jargon and everything, or are you just that much of a baseball fan, which I didn't realize that you didn't need any assistance while writing those intros?
I did not need assistance, so...
At all?
You know.
You just had
no,
all that,
no,
like,
no.
All that.
Yeah,
we got the one-on-one, and that just came right out. You didn't have to... Wow.
I'm realizing baseball is something that I do... truly, I'm going to say love, which feels very corny. So I'm sorry. And I'm sorry there's this sports talk on here. Listen, if this is the first episode you're listening to, I don't think a sport has been mentioned until now. But, you know, I don't know. I do like it. And back in 2008, when the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series, I was living with Andrew. And also my future wife, who was my fiance at the time, and the three ways were amazing. But the point is, when we were watching, Angela and I would always watch the Phillies, and Andrew has no interest in sports for the most part. But he would sometimes sit and watch with us and just imitate the announcer. And so I kind of based it on Tom McCarthy, the announcer for the Philadelphia baseball Phillies.
Shane Victorino.
Yeah, yeah.
But Shane Victorino was on the Phillies.
That's right. Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Very, sports very talk. Impressive. All right.
And now it's your turn to ask a question, Andy.
Okay. Mike. Yeah. Oh, I got a perfect question. Okay. Okay. So your like handle thing is my mic is on. Like that's a thing. That's like a.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not going to give the exact email address because you will be flooded with pictures of nubile ladies. My mic is on. Okay. Is that because it kind of sounds like your name, like Mike Hahn, Mike is on? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And actually, Andrew Kane was one of the people who started it.
All right.
Yeah. So Andrew and another an actor named Suze, when we all worked together at People's Light, I was an audio engineer there. And because I needed a mic test once I got everybody's mics on their bodies for the show, the musical we were doing.
That's the best part, isn't it? Putting it on their bodies.
Oiled it up. Looped them nicely. Once I had my hands all over their bodies, I would run up to the board and I would do the sound check through the headphones, and just eventually it became Andrew and Suze are the ones that started it. They just said mic on, my mic is on, mic on, my mic is on, my mic is on, mic on. And then eventually the whole cast was doing it, so I just got this like chorus of people talking to me over their body mics while I was in the back, in the front of house. And then there was even a song one day. Andrew sang a song about my mic is on. So yeah, it just kind of stuck. Ooh. as my sound engineer moniker, at least.
Oh, the,
great.
This is worlds colliding.
The joy of it camaraderie. Yeah.
I, for one, am shocked that Kane developed a song out of something so mundane.
Yeah.
That is shocking.
Not his style.
Oh, man. Mike, now you have to ask a question.
Oh, I do?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh.
Of one particular person.
Okay.
Of someone that hasn't been asked a question yet.
Okay. Which was only Andy and myself.
Which was me.
Oh, you also.
Yeah, so you can ask Ryan, me, or Tom.
Okay. Ryan.
Oh, shit. I never give good answers. Go ahead.
Are you ever going to write again for Rude Alchemy?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Now, I am going to write again.
I think you should ask us that question.
I am going to write again, but I've had this fantasy in my head for years. It's just all of a sudden coming to a meeting and being like, all right, guys, I got a whole season, and I'm going to do that one of these days.
Just not today.
Just not. but yeah, I'll write again. It's very stressful. It's very stressful for me. I've always been a procrastinator and a really bad one. Like, some people were procrastinators, but in the end they get it done. Me, I was a procrastinator and then I just didn't get it done, which
hard to imagine, you know?
I will write again. Yes.
My question is for Tom, and it is when you were writing the tortoise grandparents in the second episode of the bestiary.
Oh.
Did that just come to you, or how did you like the fact that you wrote in the stage directions that the tortoise has to sign with its tortoise claws? Was it like, how did that whole thing come about, aside from like looking at the treatment and being forced to do some of it, but like what was that process like?
Sure, I'll be honest with you. If you had asked me 2 minutes ago who wrote that scene, I would have guessed you. I would have had to first remember what the scene was, because I obviously forgot. So I guess the answer is I have no idea what I'm writing or how I come up with it, and then as soon as it's done, I forget that I did it. So to go back and try to figure out where I did, that is a lost cause.
Okay.
I write very quickly, and I wait as long as possible until I have to write. So it is the first draft, whatever pops into my head. It's basically, what do you call that, stream of conscious writing within the confines of the, you know, the outline.
Beautiful. It's a great answer.
You're like Faulkner.
Yeah.
That's usually what I compare myself to, but I didn't know.
Exactly like William Faulkner.
Exactly like that.
American icon.
Let me just Google who is William Faulkner.
Tom, just ask me, and that could be your question.
Great. Are you no, I'm not going to ask that, because I don't know about that, so let's...
Oh, right.
Are you... well...
You could ask, and we could edit it out.
What?
Well, I was going to ask a personal question, not a...
maybe don't.
Yeah, that's what... I'm not.
Bigger than a girl. How did smaller
can,
than a
can
hot
you
dog.
Can? We all know that.
Oh.
Can you tell us all dog. The story? I guess we kind of know a little bit, but can you tell us the story of how you and Mike's friendship developed?
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, I mean that was the first thing we worked on. I think was the Mic On, My Mic Is On experience. And Mike is a great musician.
How long ago was that? If you don't mind,
that was 2008 Cinderella.
Oh, okay. So we're going back.
Gracious me.
11 years ago.
Yeah, 2008 Christmas time because it was Cinderella Panto.
So it's been, and then we did what, like 4 Pantos. And then Mike worked at the same theater that I worked at for a couple of years. So, like, we overlapped, like, in when I was sort of doing administrative stuff and when I was performing. So it was, it's been a nice long time. And I think it's just he has a fucked up sense of humor, like me. And he's a musician, and he would bring in instruments, and we would just sort of play before. Curtain, we would just sort of sit in the green room and like just play music
like Dave
and
Matthews and stuff.
No,
totally.
No. sorry, DMB fans out there, but no. I mean, it's as simple as that. Like those were long runs. Like those, we did like 60 different performances, and he was live mixing every single show. Oh. So, like, you spend, you know, if you spend time with people that you vibe with backstage, you know, it happens naturally.
Yeah. And I still don't have his phone number.
Oh, really?
If I need to get a hold of Andrew Kane, I must email him.
That is hilarious.
My cell phone number at the bottom of every email. If it's easier to text me, just text me, bro. I can get. Still don't have his number.
Oh no! I'm gonna change that.
Now it's a thing.
Yeah. Now I'm going for a record. Yeah.
215.
Nope. Shush.
And we're back, and now it's time for the rarest of treats, the juiciest of morsels, the tastiest of titties. I'm sorry, I don't know. I didn't know how to alliterate that. I'm sorry, I don't feel good about that, but I mean, I do, but not for public consumption. But you can not edit it out. I don't care. What does it matter? Ryan Whalen, in all of his glory, has prepared the game. The game prepared by Ryan Whalen. Ryan, have you ever prepared a game for us before? For Chatter and
This is my
board?
First game preparation.
This, let me tell you, the expectations.
We've been doing this for almost 5 years.
Yep. Expectations are so high. Take it away, Ryan.
Weird history. Here we go, folks.
Yay!
No. Well, yes, it is a trivia. It's in a trivia extravaganza, as I call it. And tonight's topic is things that specifically interest Ryan Whalen. And we are going to have five subcategories where I will pick someone and they can choose the subcategory of their choosing.
Yay, it's like their Jeopardy in that way.
Exactly, exactly. There are three questions per category, and I have five categories. I don't know if that's too much. I don't know.
That's got to be almost 13 or 14 questions.
It's about 15 questions.
Oh, okay. Questions.
So, our categories tonight are rare and unusual livestock, genealogy, the European Reformation, the American Civil War, and British television.
Oh.
This is the most whalenist whalen game ever.
Hey, kitties, knock it off. Red. Red. Cut it out.
So, you know, cats can live a very long time.
They're still getting used to each other. So
there's no category called Ryan's Four Cats.
All right.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Let's start with Andy. You may choose a
card. Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Oh, God. Let's go genealogy. God damn it. I'm already genealogy. Stupid. Right. I don't know anything about genealogy.
Okay. No, these questions are not that good. The 1890 United States Federal Census is a sore subject for genealogists because A, it was destroyed by fire in the 1920s. B, this particular census only required citizens to give their age and sex and did not require a first and last name. C, it deteriorated in less than 10 years due to bad paper stock. Or D, was not conducted due to political turmoil. Tom.
D.
Right.
No, I'm going to change that to B. B.
Required citizens age and sex and does not require first and last names. Yeah. Okay. T. This is going to be difficult for me to keep track of this. I'm bad at that. Okay. Andy.
That's the fifth category.
Asking me?
Yeah.
Same one. Age and sex.
All right. Andrew.
What was C again?
Deteriorated in less than 10 years due to bad paper stock.
I don't know. A.
A. Andrew. And Michael.
The answer is D. All three.
D. All. No. D was, was not conducted due to political turmoil.
Yeah, that one.
All right.
Mike just made up his own choice.
And Andrew is the only one correct. It was destroyed in the 1920s.
Oh.
So can we just do... Plus one. Do we have to do the minus?
Rude rules. Plus one for me, minus one for everyone else.
Okay.
Oh, no. Whalen has to do some math. Sort of.
All right. Now we'll go with the second question, the genealogy category. Your grandmother's aunt's first child is your... Say it again.
Wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, see that?
Your grandmother's aunt's first child is your A, third cousin, B, third cousin twice removed, C, second cousin once removed, or D, first cousin twice removed.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
Who are you calling on? With Michael first.
I think it was B, but is it? It's third cousin once removed.
Well, there's B is third cousin twice removed, and C is second cousin once removed. Do you want to go with B?
Yeah. Oh God, no, twice removed. No. B.
B. So Michael is B. All right, Andrew.
B.
Too much stress.
Andrew. Andy.
You know, I was thinking it was A, but I'm second guessing. I really think there's some removal in there. So which ones have removal in it?
B, C, and D. Third cousin twice removed, second cousin once removed, first cousin twice removed.
Let's just go B.
B? All yeah. Right. And Thomas.
Just give me a second.
No, so Tom!
It's my grandmother's aunt's first child.
Yes.
Your grandmother's aunt. So my grandmother's aunt.
Yes.
First child. So that would be my grandmother's cousin. So then my mother would be that woman's first cousin once removed, and then I would be first cousins twice removed. Is that an option?
Yes. D. That, first that. Cousin twice removed.
That.
And Tom, D. And Tom, well done. You figured it out. Wow. It is first cousin twice removed. D.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow.
That was difficult because I usually start with me and then go down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I have to start up and then come down to me.
Yeah.
That was what was tricking me.
I usually start with your mother and then go down.
Oh, that was low-hanging fruit, but it was still funny.
After each category, I will give you a points update, okay? And
Okay, we might only do three categories.
No, we're doing them all. We're just going really fast.
All right, we have to pick up the pace.
Okay, we'll go faster. Well, you guys got to answer quicker. All right, this is the last question in the genealogy category.
D.
Which of Tom's great-great uncles fled to Italy during World War I under suspicion of treason by the United States government? I'm going to pick Tom last just because there's a chance he might know this, but I don't think he will.
Oh, fuck.
Do you need me to repeat the question?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so Andrew... Okay, the choices are A, Henry Hodgkin... Adolf Hodgkin, C. Thomas Hodgkin, D. Julian Hodgkin.
Oh,
Andrew?
Julian.
Andy?
A.
Henry Hodgkin. Michael?
A. Henry.
Michael and Tom. Oh.
Thanks for revealing my family's deepest, darkest secret. And I'm pretty sure it was... I honestly have no idea, so I'm just going to stay with A.
A, Henry Hodgkin. You are all incorrect. It was Thomas Hodgkin.
Wow.
That's interesting. Thomas Hodgkin was also one of the first socialists to come to America from England.
I thought wasn't he James Black Hodgkin? I did a lot of work on
Thomas Hodgkin. Thomas Hodgkin was the socialist. He may have also, and there may have been another one that fled to Italy, but Thomas Hodgkin was the socialist.
I will give you this, Tom. It was his first name is Thomas Hodgkin, but he typically went by T. Ellett Hodgkin. He went by he always did T. Ellett.
The traitor?
The traitor, yeah. And by the way, there is an Adolf Hodgkin in your family. He's your great great uncle, Adolf Hodgkin.
Oh good.
Oh, good.
Well, we're all good Christian Americans now.
I think that Ryan needs to always do the games. Please keep going.
Okay. All right. So that finishes the genealogy category with Tom has -1, Andy has -3, Andrew has -1, and Michael has -3. So
we're doing great.
Let's go. Who picked out Andy? We'll go Tom. You can pick the next category. You have...
Animals.
Rare and unusual livestock.
Unusual livestock.
Yeah, the genealogy one was the funniest one, so just prepare yourselves. All right. First question. Developed in the first decade of the 20th century, the American cream draft horse is especially unique because A, its lineage can be specifically traced to a single mare named Miss Daisy. B, it's the smallest draft horse breed. C, it is the only draft horse developed in America. Or D, it does not require horseshoes due to its strong hooves. Which it was specifically
written. This is just as funny as the GL.
Oh, sorry. We'll go with Andrew.
Oh.
Why? Miss Daisy.
Miss Daisy. Andrew. Michael?
B.
It is the smallest trash horse breed.
It is the
Michael.
Tiniest, yeah.
Tom?
Well, it's obviously not D.
All right.
I'm going to go with C. Which one was that again?
The only draft horse developed in America?
No. B, the smallest one.
Smallest draft horse, T?
Yeah, that one. Because why not? Why not?
What was D?
D was, it does not require horseshoes due to its strong hooves.
I'll go with A.
A, its lineage can be specifically traced to a single mare named Miss Daisy.
Yep.
And you are all incorrect, Tom. You should have gone with your gut. It's the only draft horse developed in America in 1911 in Iowa. It was developed.
Oh.
I knew what a draft horse was.
It's also I tricked you there a little bit. It's lineage. A draft horse is just large. They're workhorses. They can pull large machinery. Back in the day, I did throw you off a little bit. It can be linked to a single mare, but her name wasn't Miss Daisy. It was something else. It was old. It was old. Some old mom or something like that. But I can't remember. Old ma.
Oh, and that you think that throwed us is even more darling.
All right.
The name changes went through.
Yeah, because I was really on that one, and I was like, I don't think it was Daisy now.
All right. Question two. This deer-like and genetically unique goat has its origin and namesake from which island off the Southern California coast? A, San Nicolas, B, San Clemente, C, Santa Catalina, or D, Santa Rosa?
What the fuck is happening right now?
Andy?
B.
B, San Clemente. Okay, Andy?
That's
Michael?
Not right, but oh well.
D.
Santa Rosa?
Yeah.
Tom?
C. Why not?
Santa Catalina. And Andrew.
Santa Catalina.
All right. And Andy, you have the correct answer. It's San Clemente. It's actually an island owned by the U.S. Navy. And, there's just a herd of goats that live out there that they're genetically unique to that
That's
island.
Cool. And they're deer-like? That's kind of cool. I want to see one of those.
Yes, they are deer-like. Plus one.
Sounds hot.
All right, and let's keep it moving. Keep Andrew happy. I'm just kidding. George Washington and Henry Clay were instrumental in developing which breed of ass? A, the Mammoth Jackstock. B, the Rhode Island Ridgeback. C, the Potomac Jackstock. Or D, the Virginia Red.
Finally, an easy one.
Jesus, God.
Michael.
I'm going to pee my pants.
Me? I'm going to go with the Potomac Jackstock.
Potomac Jackstock, okay. Andy?
That one sounds...
Me? All right, Potomac also.
Potomac Jackstock. All right, Tom?
Let's make it a hat trick.
Tom and Andrew.
Potomac Jackstock.
It's also known as the Potajack.
The Potomac Jackstock.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
And you were all incorrect. It is the Mammoth Jackstock.
Other Jackstock.
I feel like that was a trick question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh my god. I think we have to stop. Ryan, save these other questions for the next Chatter and Lore because I can't do anymore.
We got. Did you complete that category?
Yeah, we just completed that category. Okay.
Okay, who won?
We only
How many more categories
points?
Are there?
Three.
Well, there's like three more.
Yeah. You want to do one more category? Or?
I think that would that would be nice.
No, I can't do any more. I can't see. My eyes are crying so much.
All right. Well,
I don't think we've ever had to stop a game because Kane couldn't handle the
last. I have to go pee or I'm going to piss myself.
Ed, we're back. And now it's time for questions or the story? Story?
The story.
Story. Time for chatter and lore, the lore part. So I wrote the story. The idea is that I'm supposed to write something sort of, you know, to complement the universe of the bestiary. So that's what I did. Ryan Whalen and Michael Hahn, if you'll open your email, you'll see that I sent you the script. We're going to essentially do an audio drama for a change. Oh. And all right, Ryan, you will be playing neighbor. All right. And Michael Hahn, you are doing the sound effects. So where it says sound effects, that's you. And don't worry, there's only two, and they're at the beginning and the end, and they're both a lawnmower. But I'm sure you're going to be great.
Oh, okay.
All right. So just
Andy,
to set
can I get some character direction real quick? Can I get a little?
Yeah, synopsis? Thank you for reminding me because I forgot what you're like without direction. So basically, we just want. No, you're the neighbor, and you're clueless, and you're happy, and just jovial, happy, clueless neighbor. All right.
Yep.
And I should give just yes, your SFX, your sound
good
effects.
Working order or
yes, excellent, tip top. Okay. No.
Great.
Neighbor takes his lawn mowing very seriously.
Okay.
And also, so the way that this works into the bestiary universe is that my character Evan is the sloth that you may remember being draped over the. the zookeeper's shoulders at one point. He was kind of a yeah. Well, anyway, the idea is that this is before he's gone to the prison hell thing that is the bestiary. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
And before he's an animal or whatever. All right, it's in the backyard. Take it away, Michael Hahn. How you doing there, neighbor?
Oh, I complain, but who'd listen, huh?
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, yep.
Ooh, hot one today.
Oh, by God, must be pert near 100.
That doesn't stop you from killing yourself mowing.
Well, Evan, truth be told, I enjoy it.
Well, you're welcome to come to my yard anytime. Say, Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, your kids really don't use that pool much, do they?
Hmm?
Well, it's just, I never see them using it. Hottest summer on record, I don't know.
Well, you know, kids are funny nowadays.
Ain't that the truth? I tell you, if I had a pool when I was a kid, say, how old are they now anyway?
Well, Michaela is 17 and Brianna just turned 15.
Aw, that's a hot age.
Hmm?
Said that must be a fun age.
Well, they keep me busy, all right. Evan, I gotta get back to it. This lawn won't mow itself, you know?
The thing is, yeah. I never see them in there. I mean, when I get home, I look. No swimmers. I take out the trash. I look. No swimmers. I set reminders to look out my attic office window at the hottest times of the day. No swimmers.
Well, yeah, like I said, they're busy. Lots of activities.
I'm just thinking about you. All that maintenance and expense and chlorine and whatnot. It barely gets any use.
Well, I wouldn't say it doesn't get any use.
Twice.
What?
Twice. That's how many times this whole summer there has been a bikini-clad high school girl in your pool, which I have a perfect bird's-eye view of from my attic office with the tinted window. Twice. Now you tell me, does that really justify the work and expense?
Well...
It doesn't for me. And what about my expense, huh? Do you think that window was always tinted? Or that getting it tinted was cheap?
Are you saying you want to swim in my pool? Because you and Carol are more than welcome. I mean,
I don't want to think about Carol and your pool in the same discussion. God, this was supposed to be a really fun summer. Just, you know, kicking back, relaxing in my attic office, enjoying the splish splash giggle of teenage horseplay, or at least sunbathing, for God's sake. I don't understand it. I'm sure these very busy girls have plenty of time for Instagram and Snapchat.
That they do. That they do.
Yeah, I know. They get up to some pretty wild shit on there, too. Trust me, I'm on top of it. But there's just no substitution for the real thing.
Well, kids will be kids, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, I forgot. I needed to ask you, what did you use to get that stain out that was under Brianna's bed for a couple weeks? Last night I noticed it's not there anymore, and we have the same damn problem in our rec room.
Just Resolve. I think. I'll ask Sharon.
All right, neighbor, you take care now, and don't throw your back out with that lawnmower.
No, sir. Christ, Andy.
Oh, my God.
And we're back! For the questions from you dirty, unwashed masses. What do you got there, Andrew?
Got a couple questions from the past, 18 months that we haven't really attended to.
Great.
So I'm going to start with Hunter the Dervish of Dervish on Patreon asked us a bunch of questions. And they're just darling. Number one. What do you do for a living besides podcasting? And I say darling because of the besides podcasting, which obviously earns us dozens of dollars. what do we do? Believe it or not, I'm a teacher. Go around the table, guys.
Service technician for an oxygen supply company. I deliver oxygen to veterans.
I'm independently wealthy, so I just kind of have a little leisure.
Right. That must be nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I do software support for a arts management software, nonprofit arts management software.
Tom's in insurance.
Yeah, he's in insurance.
What?
He cuts people's insurance off. No insurance now. This was your responsibility.
That's right.
Mike, what do you do?
I'm an arts administrator and a sound designer and composer.
But you already knew that, Patreon.
That's right.
Question number two, do you plan on bringing guests onto the show or collaborating in the future? Well, guess what? We got a guest on this show.
Done.
But no, we don't plan on bringing people onto the show. Why would we do
Never
that?
Never again.
Used to do that. We used to have like,
lady,
you know,
that lady friend
do.
Of yours. Was her.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, Mike knows Elena too.
Elena. Poggles. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We have guests sometimes. We've had guest voice actors in the past, but the truth of the matter is, it's difficult to do that because it would require more than the absolute minimum, which is all we're willing to contribute to this show. And that would like require emailing schedules and having people that are willing to do things with microphones that are worthwhile and getting them to send us the files and, you know, all that stuff. Question number three. Since it is now canon that Poe Green and Bruff Taxwin are set in the same universe, can we assume that all of Rude Alchemy tales are one universe?
Dun, dun, dun.
This was back when we did Poe Green and the
Jesus.
Ghosts. That's how old this question is. I don't know. I think we always think of these things as like rudiverses that sort of the edges overlap with one another. I don't know. That's how I've thought of it. But they're kind of like separate little worlds that
collide sometimes.
I basically agree. Although I feel like I don't know, something about the one-offs like Bestiary and the Buffoon, I feel like are almost mythical, so they don't maybe have any as much opportunity for crossover, let's say.
Yeah, I mean the buffoon is technically kind of a
it's plague
hanging on the fringes right. of the plague clowns.
Right. I guess I would include plague clowns slash buffoon. I don't know, fucking whatever.
All right. I agree. What type of food do you like?
Really?
Who asked that question?
I told you, they're just darling. These are all from Hunter the Dervish of Dervish.
Oh, Hunter. Hunty.
Go around and say a food you like. Cheeseburgers.
I feel like I'm the first day of kindergarten.
Pizza.
What? Pizza.
I love pizza.
Yeah.
Chinese food. Love Chinese food.
Oh. Okay. I don't know if I really knew that.
Yeah.
Roast That's beef sandwiches.
Roast beef
What's
sandwiches.
Really rare roast beef.
Mm. Oh.
But pink. Not that roast beef pink. That like starts to turn like a green metallic look to it, you know? Have you ever come across that? I mean, it's totally fine to eat.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Really? Oh.
I know what you're talking about.
It's the cheap roast beef that does
Oh,
that.
No. I go all out when I get my roast beef, yo.
Andy, what type of food do you like?
A big breakfast.
Oh, yeah, good for you. I like that, too.
Eggs and bacon.
I would not kick any of this food out of bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last question from the Hunter, the Dervish of Durbage, is what sort of things do you take inspiration from?
Geez.
Oh, what sort of things do you take inspiration for your stories from? I think we've talked a little bit about this. back in the day when David Ault was interviewing us when we first started, and David Ault is like, he does audio dramas, like he loves audio dramas, and he was asking us about audio dramas, and like, we don't listen to that shit. Like, we're not a part of the community. We get tagged in things on Twitter all the time, and I'm like, what the fuck is this thing? Like, I don't even know what it is. But we're not ungrateful that we get tagged and stuff like that, but we just have no idea what any of it is.
We are our own inspiration.
I think we're inspired by the things that we think are funny. Yeah. So like a lot of people for Carve a Crane Bottom, which is probably people's favorite thing that we do. I think it's Sherlock Holmes meets Monty Python. People have said that in the comments and the reviews and things. And I think that's accurate because that's sort of what we were inspired by when we wrote it. Does anyone else have an inspiration for something that they wrote on the show?
Right, you guys, like what I think is going to be funny coming out of your mouths.
Yeah. Mm.
That's really where it comes from.
That's wonderful.
We just did a whole season because I said, I think it'd be funny if we were all animals. and we developed an entire season. That was our inspiration.
I forgot that is how it went.
Yeah.
I'd say if there weren't four of us, I think it'd be fair to say that we are singular genius.
And yet we're weaker when we come together.
This is a question from another Patreon patron. V is for Yoshi, and it says this. So, period. Is there a place where I can listen to the music of Root Alchemy? The entire podcast is great, but I find myself wanting to hear the music on its own.
Old Town Wake, baby!
Reply. Well, they're talking about Benjamin J. Robb, but Old Town Wake is really only featured on the... thank you, though. Thank you.
How quickly you forget Benjamin J. Robb.
Old Town Wake is featured on the Chatter and Lore episodes, and some of you are detective-y enough to have gone and sought out Old Town Wake. That band that is singing and playing is my band, and I've never talked about it on this before, so here it is. I'm in a band called Old Town Wake, and we have music that you can go listen to, but only one of our songs is featured in Root Alchemy. Everything else that you hear is composed by Benjamin J. Robb. Maybe we'll have him on the
Well, that's not entirely true, Andrew. Sometimes you write songs.
Oh, I write. Yeah, the songs that appear in the episodes that are like sung by a character, I write.
The garbage
yeah,
book songs. Yeah, they call them book songs.
Yeah, there's. We've had a couple of them, and they're, you know, they're there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we need to talk to Ben about maybe putting music somewhere, because it seems like there's a number of people who are interested in listening to this music that he makes.
And that number is four.
Yeah, it's like probably like four or five people. But you know what? You four or five people, we're going to try to make that happen for you.
Oh, God, that's funny.
I'm kind of dominating these questions. I'm sorry, but here's one that we can all respond
really
to.
Really good at answering questions, from,
thanks so much. This is from McTater Thought on Twitter. That's her Twitter handle.
I love this.
Which is a great Twitter handle. Question is, it's a multi-part question. Do you have any advice for people wanting to start their own podcast? For example, editing programs to use, the best way to accomplish doing a podcast with someone long distance,
yep.
Or best ways to build an audience. Love your podcast, BT.
I would really like to handle this one, if that's all right.
Yeah, if you have any ideas about how to build an audience, McTaylorBot,
we'd love to hear them. I would love to talk. I would love to do an entire episode about this topic. But I do think the most important thing is to get an idiot like Michael Hahn to edit your shit for free.
Yep.
So, listen,
Thomas.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I mean, really, that's a very cute question, because we have no idea what we're doing. This entire podcast is nothing more than a way for us to stay in communication with each other and have an excuse to get together once a month. Thank you very much for thinking that we have anything to offer in any of those categories. Mm-hmm. But this is nothing more than a way for us to hang out. So I guess my advice would be, you know, do it with people that you really, really enjoy being with.
Yeah.
And yeah, advice. I think that's it. And it's about the content. I'd say, like, when we first started, I was like thinking, like, okay, this is a business and I am going to be all of us. I'm going to make all of us. We are all going to make all of us millionaires. It's a matter of time.
Really?
I don't know. Whatever. I just wanted to.
I feel
to
like
be,
we've all gone through that phase. I went through that phase.
Yeah. At different times. It hasn't hit Ryan yet. But we all. So, like, early on, I was like researching stuff and I did some growth hacking, which is like you.
Yeah.
You can't do it anymore. Twitter has rules against it now. But, like, you could. I mass followed all the other, like, audio drama people. And inevitably a percentage of them would follow us back on Twitter, and then they might say, huh, I wonder what this is, and listen to it. And I think that did actually do some shit. We also went on Reddit and did a review exchange, which we did 4-for-1, and we actually held up our end of the bargain on that. So we got a lot of reviews on iTunes that way, and that got us on New and Noteworthy, which means nothing.
Oh, Andy! Andy was so excited when that New and Noteworthy came on. Oh man!
Yeah, we were all thrilled. We were like, "Oh my God, yeah. This is it! This is really this is happening!"
It. This is
and
it.
That means nothing. But then
things are really going to turn around.
I'd say since all of that happened, and we kind of stopped doing all those things like years ago, I think it's all been word of mouth, and like, sure enough, one or two people a month will like either join Patreon or leave us a comment, so we know they're still out there. Like, you know, but I think it's word of mouth. So your thing has to be something somebody wants to listen to.
The practical questions are: when we started the podcast, we edited everything. I edited half of the episodes, and Andy edited the other half of the episodes, and I used GarageBand, which is free, and Andy used Audacity, which is free. And then when we both got our lives got busier and we couldn't spend hours a week editing, Rudakami should have stopped, but it didn't. It's solely because Mike Hahn decided that he was going to edit everything that we did.
Oh, man.
In our proper season. So really the person that you should be thanking for Rude Alchemy existing is Mike, because if he didn't edit them, like, I'm never going to edit an episode again.
Me neither.
And I'm not going to do it. So whenever Mike decides that he's had enough, That's when Rude Alchemy is going to stop.
Never.
Because Tom and Waylon certainly aren't going to start editing episodes.
We know we would. It's just we would release one episode a year.
thank you.
No, thank you. The best way to accomplish doing a podcast with someone long distance, what we do, I don't know how anyone else does it. At one point we use Skype. Now we just use Google Hangouts. We do a video call that we're all on together. We record locally on our own, you know, computers, machines, wherever we are. And we slate it. If you've heard the bloopers, and some of you do go and give us money and listen to the bloopers, you know that we just snap and count. And that's how we slate everything that we do, so that it's, you know, possible to sync it and edit it. And
it's a good starting place, anyway.
I know, right? Because sometimes someone will cut out. Someone's recording will cut out, and they won't know. And then it'll take, you know, Mike going through every stupid fucking thing that we do, and then getting in touch with us and being like, hey guys, can you re-record this? The recording went out. Or, hey, your mic stopped working for this thing. Can you go back and do it? So, again, the only reason Rude Alchemy is a thing is because of MyCon. And I don't know, what do you use, Mike, to do your editing?
I love this kind of advice, because number one, I would say, is the most important thing is everyone agree to buy the same microphone. That makes a huge difference.
Which we do not do.
We don't have the same microphone?
No,
Kane has one that's like $500, yeah. And we all have $40 ones.
Oh, no, I have a Yeti.
No, we have the same. Well, maybe not.
No, I have a Yeti and you guys have snowballs.
Oh. Yeah, no.
But Mike, why does that matter?
It's
Mike,
close.
Why does that matter?
Well, you know what? It's funny. It changes. The cleaner the sound is coming through, then the more I can do with it. Like, if everybody's going to be in a cave, then I will add the effects for the cave. You know, if one person records in a big room that has lots of curtains and lots of blankets, then there's a lot of sound deadening, and so you hear more straight, natural voice. And then if someone else is recording in a room with really hard walls and, like, no fabric in it, you kind of hear the echo of the room. Mm. So it puts you in two different spaces when you're listening to it, whereas, you know, I want to be able to put you in whatever space you're in, if you're outside or under the lion or, you know, in the shaft, like that kind of thing.
You know what I can't figure out? I've got a laptop, and I don't know what to do to get far enough away from the laptop so the fan on the laptop won't get on, you know, won't be a problem. There's just nothing I can do. I mean, sorry.
That's okay. It's rough. Oh, but the program I use is called Reaper, and it's also free, but it's like a fully decked out digital audio workstation. You can pay like $60 to have a personal license for it if you're not, you know, a company or a business. So that's what I do. But you can actually use it for free. And they don't restrict it in any way. They just ask you every time you turn it on if you will please buy a license. But yeah, Reaper is awesome. It does a lot of stuff that paid digital audio workstations do, but it can be free. And even if you have the money for it, it's cheap.
But I love it. See that? That's some real advice for you, McTater Thought.
Wow.
And we host our, you know, we use cloud to put the files on Google Drive, or we use Google Drive, but you know, there are other cloud services that you could use, but right. And then I don't know, you just do it and have someone like Mike Hahn do it for you, because we're never going to do it ever again.
Correct.
And that's the end of the questions.
Yay.
It's time for me to thank the many
do
people
it.
That
do it.
Give us money on Patreon. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Thank you, Tomb Depth Denizens, Lowell Scott, Jason Mead, Gregory McClure, Yancey Zim, Dominique Tripp, Tristan Moses, Eddie Cardenas, Craig Sizzes, Jen, Aaron Ricklick, and Hunter the Dervish of Durbage. Thank you also to our Catacomb Depth Denizens, Benjamin Nadick, Verena Jellinger, Aaron, Noah Willitsford, Hedda Paulson, and Michael Bonani.
Yeah.
Woo. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing next. See you never.
Oh, yeah, we don't have anything to announce.
Yeah.
We'll make an announcement soon.
Oh yeah, there's bloopers up, so yeah. Go give us money and you can listen to them. Bye.
Is Mr. Thomas Hodgkin, Mr. Andrew Kane, Mr. Eddie Wertner, and Mr. Ryan Whalen. This episode's story written by Mr. Wertner. Special guest, resident sound designer, Mr. Michael Hahn. Intro and outro music by Old Town Wake. All our music by Mr. Benjamin J. Robb. Be sure to like and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Do support Rudakami. So if you want to get the blooper reels for every episode, visit Rudakami.com/support. Nailed it.